How do you get better than that? How is anything better than that? Sharon Jones and the Dap Kings, it's a holiday soul party. The great Sharon Jones, who passed away in 2016, and we miss her so, so, so much. One of my best memories of working here at WAMC is I was getting ready to do the show, and I walked out to the printer to pick up the script that I had just printed, and who was in the green room but Sharon Jones? And I thought, oh, this is the greatest day. She was here to record something for another station, and we got to talk, and my God, what an amazing woman, an amazing voice, and we'll be hearing her all morning long. From the album, It's a Holiday Soul Party, which that's what I want this morning to be with our panel, a holiday soul party.
Oh, it will.
Well, we're off to a rocking start already, aren't we, Chris?
Yeah.
All right, here we go, everyone. Welcome. Good morning. It's our last show before the holiday. We have tomorrow off. We have Friday off. And then, of course, Saturday and Sunday. And we'll be back on Monday. And then we'll get ready for the new year, which I'm sure will be almost as much of a dumpster fire as this year, but at least it sounds good. So, good morning, everyone. Welcome to the program. And we're just all a little giddy this morning because it's the holidays and we're happy. And we just heard Sharon Jones. Alan Chartok, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. We just did the media project. This is our want on Thursday, but today is Wednesday. This year, Wednesday is Thursday. Poof.
Excellent. How did it go? Was Rosemary? Were you part of this particular taping of the show?
I was part of it, and I thought it was very interesting. I thought it was an interesting show about when the media make errors. How do we handle it?
Oh, that's good. What particular thing were you discussing?
Yeah. The Caliphate podcast by the New York Times, which was completely in error.
Yep.
The Fox News rolling back its reporting on the election in response to a lawsuit. And the Kansas City Star, after an amazing series about how it has covered race over the past decades, issuing an apology for that bad coverage.
Well,
you know what? Maybe she's right. Maybe it was a good show.
Yeah, there you go. It sounds good.
It was one of our best, Alan. We did well today.
Our best show of 2020 happened on December 23rd. That's great. Well, tune in. It's on Sunday and again on Monday, so don't miss this week's media project. All right, Chris Churchill is with us, Times Union columnist, man about town. How are you, sir?
I'm very well. Very well. How are you?
Well, happy holidays to you. I'm wonderful. It's good
to
hear you, and thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate it. Bob Griffin is with us, Dean of the College of Emergency Preparedness, Homeland Cybersecurity at the University at Albany. Happy holidays to you, Bob. How are you?
Oh, thank you so much, Joe. And I'm so happy to be here. Today is Festivus. So
yes.
It's the Festivus for the rest of us. So
that's
I
right.
I'm looking forward to showing strength and airing grievances today.
Well,
So how do you emergency prepare, Bob, for Donald Trump? How do you emergency prepare for a miscreant who is going to pardon his friends as political allies and use the pardon in the wrong way? I mean, you're the emergency preparedness guy. How do you prepare? Just how do you do that?
lots of canned goods and tremendous amounts of alcohol seem to be the recipe at the Griffin household for at least for the last 6 months.
Your recipe may vary, of course, but yes.
Spam.
Yeah. Deviled ham. Remember deviled
tuna
ham?
Tuna fish.
Yeah. That's right. We're back to tuna fish.
No,
sausages. Yes.
I've always believed that tuna fish is, and Rosemary is the international commodity that in the end we will end up trading like we trade dollars now. You know, cans of tuna fish. My mother would buy them and have them shipped out to Fire Island by the hundreds.
That maybe. Boxes of Jello.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. I'm not supposed to say Fire Island, too.
You say it all the time.
Well, let's get started. And just a programming note, we're on till 10:30 this morning because we're going to be running a great special. At our friend Robert Burke Warren and all of his friends, which is all of our friends, Jay Unger, Molly Mason, Lara Hope and the Arctones, Happy Traum, they're going to be presenting an Americana Christmas from the Bearsville Theater, and we'll be going to that at 10:30.
Sounds great.
Oh, it's amazing. Good music, great stuff. You'll love it, Alan. It's really good.
And my old pals.
And then at 11:30, we have not heard definitively, but we expect the governor to speak at 11:30. So that's our plan for this morning. So we have a lot to get in, and we will do it right now. Let me bring up the first story, which is, it's pardon time. You know, nothing says I love you and Merry Christmas more than letting somebody get away with murder, right? I mean, that is just the ultimate holiday gift. And look at what happened here. So the president granted clemency to 20 people, including 3 former GOP members of Congress and 2 men convicted in the Russian probe. He granted clemency to these folks. Yesterday, he also pardoned 4 military contractors convicted of killing 14 unarmed Iraqi civilians in Baghdad in 2007, and extended clemency to several people convicted of drug offenses, including some who had already benefited from initial commutations. The pre-Christmas pardons and commutations came as the president has been exploring how to reward friends and allies in the waning days in the White House, with more acts of clemency expected to come. Why stop in time for Christmas? Trump told advisors he wants to be liberal with pardons and plans to sign more before leaving office on January 20th, according to people familiar with his views. Oh. Allow a moment for that sentence to sink in. The White House has been flooded with requests from dozens of members of Congress, one senior administration official said, as well as lawyers, lobbyists, allies, and other supporters of the president. If there was one thing that most of these, not all, but most of these had in common, was that they were very close, or either were close to the president or at one time had been loyal or close to the president. And that is what many of them have in common. House Intelligence Committee Chairman Adam Schiff said in a statement, if you lie to cover up for the president, you get a pardon. If you are a corrupt politician who endorsed Trump, you get a pardon. If you murder civilians while at war, you get a pardon. Alan.
Well, first of all, I love Adam Schiff. Always have, just, right on the money. Secondly, the whole thing is just so simply depressing that in the last 30 days that this guy has as president of the United States, he's going to be doing one of these after another. We don't know whether he's going to put one in his own pocket and walk away and say later on, oh, you can't do that. I have a pardon. It was signed by me or his kids. We do know that he's abusing his power. He's abused his power all along. And somehow we got ourselves into a mess with a nutcase miscreant like this guy. It just keeps getting worse and worse and worse.
Chris Churchill.
Well, yeah, he is abusing his power, certainly. I mean, he's not the first president to do it, as we've discussed previously here. You know, Bill Clinton issued a bunch of last-minute pardons too, some of which were questionable. But you know, this isn't how the pardon power is supposed to work. It's supposed to be for cases, you know, in which you know forgiveness is justified, and you know, people. It's not just supposed to be for friends and allies and people who have said good things about you. And you know, the most disturbing ones of all, obviously, are the Blackwater. The 4 Blackwater men who were involved in a terrible, terrible massacre that really set us back significantly in Iraq and did a lot of damage to, you know, whatever the mission was there. I don't know. It's discouraging, and it's odd to me that these were the Christmas pardons. You know, you would think that a couple of days before Christmas, you might find a few people who were more sympathetic cases.
And it doesn't seem that, I mean, we may, Bob, right? Not even hit the sympathy card, because these all seem to be very politically and, for want of a better term, Trump motivated.
Yeah, there's no sympathy here at all. And, you know, Chris, I appreciate your continued striving to try to find something good out of the situation, but there is no empathy or thought process, and certainly no Christian values coming out of the Trump White House.
Well, I didn't mean to suggest that. If I did, I was
you were just saying if there was a day to give a good Christmas pardon, this would be it.
And instead of that's what the pardon power is supposed to be for, is those sympathetic cases or those cases that you might feel an injustice has been done. It isn't for these cases. That's why I was calling it an abuse of power.
Yeah, no, I think you're right, and it was a tool that was meant to try to level the playing field when we as a society may have wronged an individual, which sometimes does happen in the justice system. You know, a couple things I want people at home to think about. You know, Chris Collins was convicted of insider trading, right? And lying to investigators. Duncan Hunter was stealing campaign funds. Stockman was stealing from charities. Jesus, does that sound familiar? I mean, does that sound like somebody else that we know? I mean, these are not good people.
The Collins case is interesting and shows about the loyalty factor, because he pardoned Collins but not the kid.
Yes. Although, you know, we still, as you said,
I know the year is young. Yeah, I know
the year is young. And as I you know, start to read up on today's topics, you know, my first thought is, you know, this is the rich toady club. I mean, this is typical of what we've seen from from Trump and the new Trump GOP. As I said, he took care of bad people, and you know, the one that really, really irks me is the military contractors. I mean, they murdered 14 people and wounded 17 more people. I mean, if this is law and order, I mean, those men deserve to spend their lives behind bars.
Yeah, it's really hard to digest. Rosemary.
All good observations that you all have made. I continue to be confused by people who don't see how snowed they have been by Donald Trump, who, remember, came into power promising to clear out the swamp. And I did not think that meant pardoning them all so they could go back out and do the same thing again, go into the White House and advocate for martial law and other weirdness. And we're just seeing the beginning of it. I think I do think he's going to pardon lots more friends, including Giuliani. And as far as this being what the pardon power is intended for, it doesn't really matter what the forefathers intended. They didn't write it down on paper. And it now is sweeping and absolute, and I don't see controls on it. And Trump, as it has been his wont, has learned how to push every power he has. He loves having power to the absolute last degree. And this is it. He's also setting himself up for 4 years in exile before he can run again, if he lives that long. That's not a wish for anything to happen to him, of course. But he's setting up a template for how he keeps loyalty. He will tweet against you. He will build up support against you. He will get people to run against you. And if you do anything wrong on his behalf, he'll make sure you get out of trouble.
And by the way, Rosemary, for whatever it's worth, that's exactly what he said yesterday when he went after McConnell again and the Republicans. I'll run primaries against them. I mean, there is no such thing as loyalty from him to anybody else. It's always from them to him.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And is there a point, we're getting a little off the topic here of the pardons, but is there a point where that act fades away, where even McConnell says, okay, well, I'm just going to do finally what needs to be done and screw it?
I think so. I think you're starting to see the seeds of it right now. The you know, there's a pretty interesting article about the split in the GOP, or what's left of the GOP, and where Trump is taking it, and where McConnell wants to take it, are two very different places. And they're heading towards a schism.
Now, for an opposing view, we go to Rosemary.
Yeah, I think this is more hoping things will change. He will pivot. The Republican Party finally wised up. No, they didn't. This is just McConnell wants to win Georgia, and he doesn't want to see his senators lining up having to say whether they're for or against Trump because of the loyalty test that we just talked about. That's all. It's not. He's not concerned about the future of the Republican Party. Ugh, don't believe
it. Not a bit. Not a bit. But Tommy Tuberville has made his goose cooked.
Well,
I think McConnell is concerned about the future of the party. I mean, why wouldn't he be? I mean, he's a guy who was just reelected. He's got 6 years there. He wants to have the majority in 2020, he wants it in 2022 and 2024.
He was only elected because Trump did the robocall. He would not have been elected had not done the robocall.
We know that. But, Trump said so.
And you know how proud McConnell is, too. McConnell doesn't take slights any better than Trump does. So there are these elements. And it's also, D.C. is notorious for once you're out of power, you're out of power. In just a short month, Trump is going to be out of power. And the question is, how much soft power is he going to be able to retain? My personal, magic eight ball says he's going to have so many financial and legal problems that that he is going to drop off the radar.
All right. We have to take a break. When we come back, we'll continue this conversation. We have letters. We have much more to discuss. And we'll get it all in, I promise. We'll do it with our wonderful panel, Alan Chartok, Bob Griffin, Chris Churchill, and Rosemary Armeo. We welcome your letters, panel at WAMC.org, panel at WAMC.org. We're here for another hour. Keep them short. We'll get to as many as we can. We'll be right back. Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. Alan Chartok, Chris Churchill, Bob Griffin, and Rosemary Armeo. A couple letters that we have regarding the pardons. Let's go to those. If I were planning a coup, says John, pardoning contractors willing to shoot civilians might come in handy.
That's frightening.
Yeah, I had that same thought, actually, because it is a little bit scary. And, given the conversations apparently he Trump has been having about martial law, I can't wait for us to see the tail end of this guy.
Christine says, we knew this was coming. All of the murderers pardoned better hope that they are also being admitted to the witness protection program or at least disappear. How long before a vigilante group comes for them? And no pardon for the mentally disabled person who was executed? Again, you're looking for empathy. I don't think that's going to happen.
No, I don't think that's a great letter, to be honest with you. I don't think we see many vigilante groups from the left going over to the right. Maybe the other way around.
Stephen writes, you miss the point about the mercenaries for the MAGA crowd. They are sympathetic figures, soldiers of fortune who killed brown people for no reason and highly sympathetic to Trump's base. Oh, I think we got the point.
We didn't like the point. We didn't support it, but we got it.
We didn't, maybe say it out loud, but yeah, no, yeah. We got it. Rita says, where does it specify what the pardon power is for? Trump is pushing the envelope as usual, but can he be stopped?
No.
Nope.
You could impeach him.
No, and real quick question. Impeach him. I mean, there's court precedence that has shaped the pardon powers and the very broad presidential pardon powers. Don't hold me to it. I think it was the Garland case. If you look up court cases with presidential pardons, you'll find it.
Although I have to say that because of the abuse of this power that he is going through, it might be interesting to see if at least there's a movement towards amending. You'd have to amend the Constitution, of course, amending the Constitution to put some safeguards in place, because otherwise it really is ludicrous.
I don't want to call out panelists by name, but someone is rummaging through their attic, or at least that's what it sounds like on this side of the radio.
I think it's rummaging
Christmas presents.
Is that what they're doing? They're wrapping Christmas presents. Well, I'm not going to name anybody, but please.
He's multitasking.
I admit to eating on occasion, but no, I'm not wrapping anything.
Or working on the, like. What?
I don't have an attic, but I'm now sitting here with my hands in my lap.
Okay, all right. Yeah, like working on your carburetor or something. Okay, let's move.
It's a still if it's working, Rosemary.
Let's go to other.
Slander.
So then, as if, you know, why not the twofer, right? So the president came out and he did the clemencies and the pardons. And then he has did what he now has been doing, because we haven't seen him in a week. And he hasn't had any public appearances. He's just been holed up in the White House. And so finally, this Twitter video was released. And then what he came out, and the purpose of that was threatening to derail the bipartisan work done in Congress to deliver $900 billion in coronavirus relief to this country, of course, battered by the pandemic, demanding checks to Americans that are more than three times as much as those in the bill, which he called a disgrace. The president, this from the New York Times, the president, who has been preoccupied with his baseless claim that the election was stolen from him, seized on congressional leaders' decision to pass the relief bill by combining it with a broader spending plan to fund government operations and the military. That spending plan includes routine provisions like foreign aid and support for Washington institutions like the Kennedy Center and the Smithsonian. But Mr. Trump portrayed such spending as, quote, wasteful and unnecessary additions to the coronavirus legislation. It's called the COVID relief bill, but it has almost nothing to do with COVID, Mr. Trump said in the video posted online. Congress found plenty of money for foreign countries, lobbyists, and special interests while sending the bare minimum to the American people. Obviously, he took a swing, not a swing, I mean, it basically took a 2x4 up the side of the head of the Democrats, saying that they were responsible for all of this, and made it sound as if Republicans had been on board to do something for months and months, and it was the lazy Democrats who did nothing. Now, the minute this was announced, when the president said, quote, I am asking Congress to amend this bill and increase the ridiculously low $600 to $2,000, Speaker Nancy Pelosi immediately got up from her chair and said, let's do it.
I'm for it. Yeah.
Let's go. That's what we've wanted. We're going to bring it to the floor right now.
Joe, I know what you read, but the fact of the matter is, I think that this is one more part of his now open warfare with Mitch McConnell.
Yes.
Because obviously it was the Republicans who had the parsimonious, amount of money that the Democrats would have done it long ago. The president, of course, speaking out of both sides of his mouth, which he loves to do, you know, says it's the Democrats' fault. But he knows full well that it was McConnell who came up with that number, and that's where it was.
I know that this is obvious, and I know that I'm saying something that's been said a billion times. But, you know, to be a member of Congress, to be a member, especially someone who is in the negotiating room, to watch the president just not care a whit about this for months and months and months and months, sitting on the sidelines, only worried about a fraudulent election that he believes is fraudulent, and then coming in the 11th hour after it has already passed both houses and saying, oh, we got to do this over again. I can't imagine the anger they are feeling, except that, as I indicated, Nancy Pelosi's like, all right, well, if you're going to put more money on the table, let's do it.
And if you're the Republicans, what do you do now? I mean, do you really come out against the guy who has 90% of the Republican Party behind him? Boy, they are between a rock and a hard place.
Yeah, and if they don't, government shuts down, and there is no stimulus support, even the meager sums that were in the bill. So you're right, Helen. I mean, they are in a horrible position. They negotiated in good faith, and they thought they had the White House with them, and he pulled the rug out right out from underneath them. I will note two things too to toss into the mix. One is, you know, last night, you know, 3,200 Americans passed from COVID, and not a peep from Donald. 200,000 new cases. And he didn't talk about some of the really bad parts of the stimulus bill, including the three martini lunch break and the double dipping for businesses. And the fact that if you start to look at some of the businesses who have been taking government money that are absolutely undeserving, there's a lot to dislike in the stimulus bill. But that's what happens when you create a compromise, and that's the way Congress is supposed to work.
Yeah, there is a lot in the bill that is kind of distasteful, right? I mean, this always happens when you get these massive packages and people start throwing things in there that don't belong. On the other hand, the two bills, the larger spending bill and the COVID bill, are kind of being conflated, you know, and the president did that too. It would be nice if he had a better understanding of how the process had actually worked and didn't kind of continue to spread misinformation. But a lot of the foreign aid and a lot of the other things that he was complaining about were already agreed upon. Yeah. Those aren't new to this relief bill.
Rosemary?
I think Trump is mad at everybody, and his anger at McConnell is matched by his anger with the American people who did not return him to office. So if they're dying, he doesn't care. And he wants to torpedo this bill because chaos is what he does. And he's found a way to do it and blame Democrats. I just love that. It's all the Democrats' fault. The person who should be mad at him is Steve Mnuchin, who keeps on taking him at his word and doing these earnest negotiations and then gets undercut. This is not the first time this happened. Trump doesn't care if the government shuts down. He doesn't care if it's a mess and people are suffering and starving, and they will soon blame Joe Biden and Nancy Pelosi. So this is great for him. I think he's sitting back in the White House saying, yeah, I'll get you.
If I could jump on that, Joe, it was a tangerine toddler tantrum, absolutely. But everything you just said was
that a tangerine dream reference? That's nice, yes, Bob.
I tried that.
Yeah, that's good. Tangerine Dream, of course, provided the soundtrack for what hit 1980s movie, Bob? Risky Business. Very good. Risky. Move on.
Oh God, I'm sorry. Yes. I'm getting old enough where I can start to claim memory loss. But think about what Trump just did there. He pivoted attention right back to him. You know, with these outlandish statements and his pouting and everything else that's going on with this one push, he's brought the spotlight right back onto him. And I'm sure what he's looking for are people to come to be kissing his feet and other body parts in order to get him to sign this.
Chris.
He's trying to really push.
Well, just to speak to the chaos, I mean, there were reports a few weeks ago that Trump wanted the $2,000 check, the $2,000 payment,
and he was
talked out of it by his aides. And then, you know, so Steve Mnuchin and others went forward with the $600. And then, of course, 2 weeks later, Trump is, after not really participating in the process and not really fighting for what he apparently wanted from the beginning, tries to torpedo the whole thing at the end. I mean, it's just, it for a guy who's, you know, came into office as a supposed deal maker and somebody who could really
swamp cleaner.
Swamp cleaner, and also somebody who could get things done and could negotiate with the other side, and you know, would take all of his vast real estate experience and really do great things. It's amazing how bad he is at the actual deal making part of his job. He actually just doesn't participate in it.
Well, it helped explain how he bankrupted a casino. I mean, you're looking at the way the clown operates, and you're like, yeah, it makes complete sense to me that every business that he's touched, he's messed up. So
people put thousands of dollars a moment into an inanimate object, and nothing comes out, and you don't make money off that. It is surprising.
You have to work hard not to make money off the casino.
Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll continue.
Go ahead.
Rosemary. No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, did you all see the story today about how his banker at Deutsche Bank quietly retired today? She's 60 years old, but she's retiring just as he's about to leave office. Interesting development.
Well,
and how she judged it.
Yeah, he said she's the head banker at Deutsche Bank, which of course is not true, but she is the one who gave him all the loans or was responsible for it. So now one could think, well, she's cutting it out, Rosemary, because, you know, she doesn't like what she sees, or she could see that her bosses are saying to her, now the trouble's really coming.
And now is a fine time to spend more time with my family. Yeah. Let's take a break. We all want to do that. We'll take a break, and we'll be back. We'll continue with our wonderful panel, Alan Chartok, Chris Churchill, Bob Griffin, and Rosemary Armeo. We'll be right back.
One, two, three, and... Baby, you got them big balls. Baby, you got them big balls. Baby, you got them big balls. Flashing in your window tonight. I can hear the music loud and clear while I'm walking down the street. See the flashing lights of Christmas cheer blinking to the beat. Where that party at? Right here. Cause we wanna get down tonight. Oh yeah, baby, you got them big balls. Baby, you got them big balls. Baby, you got them big balls. Flashing in your window tonight. Baby, you got them big balls. Baby, you got them big balls. Baby, you got them big balls. Flashing in your window tonight.
It's 10 minutes before 10 o'clock on this Wednesday, the 23rd of December.
Joe, thank you so much for that song about me. I just really appreciate that.
Oh, you know, you request him, we play him.
You can imagine how pleased I am as the president of the company.
Sorry about that, Alan.
I wasn't sure I was understanding the lyrics correctly, but apparently I was.
Welcome back, everybody. Very nice to have you with us, and we love your letters, and you can keep writing them, panel@wamc.org, panel@wamc.org. We got a couple here I want to read. Would you be surprised to find out, asks Keith, that Fox News's Pete Hegseth has gone on the air numerous times over the years calling for Trump to pardon these Blackwater contractors. Fox News and Murdoch are the enemy of the people. Then we go to... okay, I guess that was it on that. Okay, so I want to move on to the other big issue, of course. So there was this, there was this like... 7:30 to 8:30 regurgitation of stuff. There was the the pardons, the clemency, and then, of course, the I may throw a bomb into the stimulus package, and oh, by the way, meanwhile, I'm planning the overthrow of the government. So this is not to be, and you can tell it is Trump's America when that's the third story we're talking about. But we know this story. Republicans plunge into an open battle over attempts to overturn Trump's loss to Biden. We touched on this earlier, of course, but this is now becoming open warfare over President-elect Joe Biden's election victory, with Trump taunting Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell and threatening primary challenges against other Republicans, House lawmakers egging on senators to contest the counting of Electoral College votes next month, and senior GOP senators rebuffing that effort as a pointless political exercise. This this is a article in the Washington Post. There is a very similar article in the New York Times. I think what is frightening slash I don't understand is the fact that we haven't heard a lot about Vice President Pence. And yesterday we started to hear about Vice President Pence. And so Pence came out yesterday and said, as our election contest continues, I'll make you a promise. We're going to keep fighting until every legal vote is counted. We're going to keep fighting until every illegal vote is thrown out. We're going to win Georgia. We're going to save America. And we'll never stop fighting to make America great again. You watch. Now, this comes at a time when Mike Pence is going to be the one, after the holidays, who will be overseeing, which is usually a pro forma event where you oversee the Electoral College, that now he has cleared a schedule and will be there. And the concern, of course, is what he will do and what the others will do in this. I mean, no one really knows, but we do know that they're doing something. And obviously working and trying to get people who are going to sign up to take this on.
You know, no matter what you say, you can't figure that this president has a low, that there's something that he won't do. He will. He'll do everything he can to screw it all up. Mike Pence, of course, is a disgrace. What he said yesterday was particularly disgraceful because he knows it's over. To me, it occurred to me that he could take dictation, because it sounded an awful lot like Trump having dictated that particular right. Speech to me. Thank God for Nancy Pelosi and the House of Representatives, because no matter what they pull off, I have a question for the group, though, and that is, if you were a Republican senator, now I want you to get inside their heads. If you were a Republican senator, would you, in fact, take the fall so that you could keep on getting elected, or would you move forward on destroying the Constitution of the United States? Which one would you do? Chris, what would you do?
Well, I don't think that is the actual choice. I mean, I don't think it's in these Republican senators' interest to have a vote on this.
They're getting right? one. Because They're getting one, because Tommy Tuberville says, I'm going to be the guy who does it. So they're going to get one. Mitch McConnell begged them not to do it, but they're getting one. So that is the choice.
Well, yeah. And if that does happen, we're not sure that that's going to happen. But if that does, I mean, they're in a tough spot. I mean, obviously, they should vote for the correct thing to do, which is to certify the results or whatever the term is. But these senators, these votes could hurt them. I mean, the reason that Mitch McConnell doesn't want these votes to happen is because he doesn't want his senators. Either way, people are going to be angry, right? He
Absolutely.
Would just rather duck the whole thing.
Will hurt them. Of course, we know that. Yeah, so I'm asking you, because you're a man I admire very, very much. I do. And, you're right. You're right where you should be in terms of taking a good hard look at everything, saying, "All right, if it's not the future of this guy, of these people, are they willing to throw away their futures and do what's right? And would you in that case?
Well, obviously, I would do the most honorable thing in every case.
Well said.
You have an Eagle Scout medal to uphold, yes.
Right, which is why I would never get elected to the Senate in the first place. But, I don't know. I don't really know how much to make of these challenges, to be honest. I mean, they've happened in the past. You know, I think it was in 2004, Barbara Boxer signed on to a challenge. And, you know, they're not going to go anywhere. They don't have the votes to make them go anywhere. All they can really do is make a show of it and delay the process. I think the really fascinating figure in all this, as already been said, is Mike Pence. Because we all remember in 2000, or at least we remember it from the Michael Moore documentary, of Al Gore, you know, gaveling down challenges to the 2000 election. And, you know, it was kind of a poignant and kind of honorable moment for Al Gore when he did that. I mean, Mike Pence is doing it with an audience of one, basically. You know, he knows that the president, if he does what Al Gore does, the president will be furious.
Yep.
Rosemary?
Yeah.
I don't know from the evidence why you think there's any doubt what they're going to do. They proved it in impeachment. They proved it with health care voting. They proved it in the negotiations over this COVID relief bills. The Republicans, and led especially by Pence, are going to do exactly what Trump dictates. It's in
That's
their
correct.
Best interest to do it. They're going to curry favor from the base. There's no loss to them. So it doesn't succeed. They're not looking for success. They're looking to show their fealty to Trump. I just don't see that this is a controversy at all. They're going to do what they're told to do.
Yes. So you think every Republican senator is going to vote for these challenges then?
Not Mitt Romney. He won't do it. You may have two or three who won't.
Not Susan Collins, not Lisa Murkowski. The three usual ones will come over to the Democrats.
No, I think you'll get many more than that. I think the majority, maybe I'm just being naive, but I think the majority will vote against it. There may be a few who, from very, very red states. But you have to remember, a lot of these people have to get elected in states where doing that will carry a pretty negative consequence. I mean, that's the difference in a lot of ways between the Senate and the House. A lot of these House members are from districts where their biggest concern is being challenged from the right, you know, or being challenged by a Trumpite. For senators, it's a little bit different. They have to worry more about the middle.
Let's take
90%. Senators signed on to that Texas lawsuit too, even though it had no chance in hell. And they showed their loyalty. This is exactly the same thing. I think Thune might vote against it too. He's come out and he wants people who are currying favor with. See, there's like some conflicting loyalties here now because there's Trump on one hand and McConnell on the other. So they are choosing a vote. You may be right, Chris, that there'll be more than just the usual suspects because of that dynamic. But any decision that requires independence or courage on the part of Republican senators, no, it isn't going to happen.
All right, we have to take a break. We can continue this conversation, and we will, right after the break. Reminder, coming up at 10:30 this morning, a special Bearsville Theater Presents an Americana Christmas, hosted by Robert Burke Warren, and we'll be hearing that at 10:30 this morning. First, news with Ray Graff, and then we'll come back with more panel right after this.
Child, I used to wonder how Santa put my toys under the
I wanted it to play for just a few minutes so you actually heard the lyrics correctly. I don't know. No more. It's not a Rorschach test, friends. It's a song, and it's a holiday. It's a holiday soul party. So get your mind out of the gutter.
Hey, I let those lyrics go by without a peep. It was, I wasn't the one who claimed the song was about me.
Oh, my God. Yeah. All right.
So,
well,
so just a statement about the last topic.
Yeah.
Changing the subject. I actually think that the GOP leadership is going to be behind McConnell. I don't think that I think he's going to whip his caucus really hard. So while I think there will be a number that may sign off, I don't think it's going to be the entire GOP representation in the Senate.
Yeah, actually, I sort of assumed that. I was surprised, Rosemary. I don't doubt you. I was just surprised, Rosemary, when you said you thought it would be everybody except for the usual suspects.
Yeah. I mean, it's actually better for them all if they all stick together, obviously, right? I mean, if they can all say we did it in unison because it was the right thing to do, there's security in numbers. Whereas if they actually have to make it, you know, look like a real choice, that leaves them more vulnerable.
Yeah, and I wouldn't be surprised, Chris, if he's counting his votes and he'll let certain number of senators cross the line. Particularly if they're looking at midterm elections, which is, you know, but I still don't think that he will. I just still don't think McConnell is going to let this thing go.
As we say, keep them in the tank. You know, you're in the tank.
Yeah.
Or you're off the hook.
I imagine that when Tommy Tuberville arrives, he's going to get, you know, quite a lecture about.
Now you've done it. My obsession with the Tommy Tuberville, I just walk around all day long saying, Tommy Tuberville, Tommy Tuberville, Tommy Tuberville. Now you've done it, Chris. I really appreciate that.
I don't know what you're talking about.
What triggered this, though, Alan? If you don't mind my asking, what triggered this?
I don't know. It's just something. You know how you hear a song and you keep singing it, or you hear a poem if you went to a private college and you keep saying it.
Song Bob's got in his head, but go ahead.
But can I just read one little letter?
Yes, of course.
Do you remember when I used to read the letters, and now you're reading them, which is great because you're much better at it. But
It's only because of the pandemic.
It's not a competition. Okay. Hi, says Jonathan T. Enjoy your show. My comment is that your panel should ease off on Trump bashing. Sometimes your comments can get a bit ugly. I am not a fan of POTUS, but maybe mellow out a touch. And that's from Jonathan. I just thought I should read that.
How's your mellowing working, Rosemary?
I wanted to read that about our miscreant president.
I guess you're not going to need that piece of advice, Alan.
No.
Yeah.
Rosemary?
No, I'm not going to obey it. I am not going to obey it either, Jonathan. If you don't want to hear Trump bashing, I would not listen to the show, at least on the days I'm on. I want to do nothing but it.
Well, Rosemary, to be somewhat defensive.
Men who support him.
To be somewhat defensive about it, Rosemary, you're not the only one who has been real tough on this guy who has more to ruin the history of the United States than anybody I have ever seen or heard about.
You and I have both gotten into trouble for comparing him to Hitler, for which I do not apologize in the least. He
Nor
is
I.
the worst mistake we have made in American history in a really long time.
Well, no, I would say stop right there. Worst mistake we have ever made in American history.
Well, I mean, there are some other ones that Hoover and Buchanan and Pierce. I mean, I think some of them you could say were pretty awful.
I don't know. I'll tell you the truth. Hoover didn't really apparently have a bad bone in his body. He was just insensitive and stupid about, you know, his approach to finance in the country and the Depression, but he was not a bad man. Trump is a bad man.
Yeah, and I think that's, if I could jump on that, Alan, you know, in response to Jonathan's letter, this quote just sticks in my mind that evil flourishes when good people do nothing. And easing up is doing nothing. I think part of our responsibility to be part of this democracy is that we have to question government. That's what keeps government on its toes and honest. And I think, Chris, you could probably, you know, speak to that better than I could. But I think it's our continued responsibility to call out hypocrisy and immoral and unethical and illegal actions. So I'm not going to stop.
I think that's absolutely right. You know, you have to criticize people who are in power. That's what the role of the press is. You know, I am, however, somebody who is pushed back on the Hitler comparisons or some of the particularly, you know, things that I think, to be honest, are a little bit over the line. But in these cases, when you're talking about the pardons today or some of the tactics that are being used to overthrow the election, I don't really know what we're supposed to say. I mean, I would love somebody to send in kind of a thoughtful defense of the pardons. I don't think it's possible. I don't think there's any defending some of this stuff. And the people who go on TV or go on the radio and try to defend it, I think they're being dishonest. I think they know deep in their hearts that the stuff is defensible and it should be condemned.
And not only the pardons, Chris, but you are so right. The idea that we have a peaceful transference of power and a history of that in this country, and this guy tries to say, no, I really won, and that is like Hitler, by the way, I really won, and that is much worse than anything else that this, whatever you want to call him.
It's the worst part of his term. There's no doubt about it, and I agree that if you don't condemn that, I don't know. You don't have a voice, basically, because you're not using it.
Yeah, and to go back to what we were talking about earlier, he pardoned two men that killed 14 unarmed civilians and wounded 17 others. Okay, they're murderers, and
exactly.
the pardon makes it seem to the rest of the world that this is the ethics or the morality of this country. And I push back and say that's not what I believe this country is about. It's certainly not what I am about. And the fact that he did this shows such a lack of of anything, a leadership of morality, of empathy. I mean, you have to question it. You have to. How do you pardon murderers?
Well, we'll let that hang for a minute. Yeah. But yes.
Well, and there's even more to it. I mean, how do you pardon murderers for one? But it's also a case that the Justice Department worked really, really, really hard to prosecute. It was very difficult to prosecute, but they went ahead and did it anyways. And by the way, some of that was still going on as recently as 2019. Right, under the Trump administration. So there's a little bit of hypocrisy in the pardons. And, you know, even Blackwater itself, which is now operating under a new name because things like this massacre disgrace the old name so much, even Blackwater has said that the prosecutions were justified.
But let us not forget, too, that the brother of Betsy DeVos was the former CEO until 2009. So
he also was a friend of Trump who tried to help him set up Blackwater Communications Channel to Russia. He's a friend of Trump.
Eric
follows
Prince.
The whole pattern.
Yes.
Yeah. It follows the whole pattern of he's helping his friends and loyalists.
Yeah. He also ran for governor of Michigan too. I mean, it's interesting all of these connections.
Yes.
The mangrove grove in the swamp. I mean, the roots are really interconnected.
Joel writes to us and says, "Ease up. The man discussed martial law. Where's the outrage?" Yeah, that's what I would. Why would people not be more like scared? And maybe it's maybe Chris is right that it's just because we've seen this. And we won't we assume nothing will come of it, but I don't know, the more you read about it, the more it gets a little frightening to me, for and a
lot.
And
it's funny how these commentators who tell us that we're too rough on him inevitably say that they're no fan of POTUS. Amazing. I mean, you know, you're sitting there, they're not doing anything about it, and this guy is ruining this country.
Yeah, and again, I mean, it's one thing to say ease up on them, but, you know, offer a counter argument, because I'd love to hear it. I would love to hear how these things are justifiable. Nobody has written to say that they are.
And the other thing, too, and for the listeners to understand, is that, you know, sometimes these things are trial balloons. So they toss out some outrageous ideas to see if there's any reaction. It's sort of poking to see if there's, you know, if there's a pain reaction. And if you don't come out strongly against some of these, it's just like the idea of talking about martial law after a perfectly legal and just election, you know,
That was not a trial balloon. That was leaked by concerned people within the White House who said this is crazy. You're right that sometimes he has done that, but I don't think that was the case here. He's legitimately looking at it.
No, I think you're right, but at the same time, I think he's watching to see what the reaction is from us.
I agree with you.
Been leaked.
That's right.
On the pardons or on the.
On the martial law.
I mean,
and
you don't think he already
making.
I mean, you don't think he has the plan. I mean, it seems like he's going forward. I mean, I don't know.
Joe, he's just desperate to figure something out. He's caught in. He's like a rat caught in the corner. He cannot figure it out. He's looking.
But,
he's trying to reach for anything that will possibly save him. And right now, it looks like nothing will.
But I guess I'm just hung up upon, and I don't want to make too much of this. But I guess I'm just hung up on this idea of it being a trial balloon. It doesn't seem to be a trial balloon to me. I mean, it seems like this is what he wants, and he's going to do everything he can to make it happen.
Well, but he did back off, so that does give some credence to the idea of a trial balloon.
Back off in what sense?
Well, he said it's not going to happen. It's not. We're not going to involve the military. Yes.
When
did
he say that?
He said yesterday morning. I read it somewhere. He said it. Well,
it falls into that whole pattern of, oh, you know, he says these horrible, hurtful, outrageous things, and then it's, oh, well, it's only a joke.
Right.
No, it's never a joke. It's you're this is the way you feel. You just don't like the fact that you're being corrected by folks in the country.
All right, let's go to this letter. I'm from Schenectady. I commute from Hartford a lot, tend to be conservative, but because I listen to you, it makes me happy because most of the morning show have dopes calling in, and your team...
We're the dope.
While I may not, I was worried about where this was going. While I may not embrace, at least is smart. Plus, I always embraced Alan and compared to Connecticut channels much better than NPR Alternative, maybe the Upstate and New York Connection. All right, that's very nice. We also, Tommy Tuberville was on the news today. He didn't have much to say. But his name will be on your mind all day today, says John.
No question about it. No question. No. Once it's there, you can't get rid of it. You can't exercise it.
I mean, it is important, I think somewhat important to note that he was the one who came up with, so it was this congressman in Alabama who said that Tuberville should be the guy who carries the water here. But he has not said he will do it yet. So
is that right?
Yeah.
I heard he had said it, but who knows?
Yeah, I thought he had taken a stronger position on it. And, you know, I will note that Alabama and Mississippi have no ICU beds left. Has Tommy Tuberville said anything about that?
No. I don't know. Yeah, no.
The answer's
okay.
No.
Okay. thank you, Bob.
He's sworn in January 3rd, just a few days before the before this big vote, and I can bet that Mitch McConnell will be showing him the office near the boiler in the basement he'll be occupying if he goes along with this. You know, Mitch McConnell runs a tight ship, and he'll twist his arm as hard as he can to get this done.
Or not done. In other words, it's going to take one person saying, "I object." And the thought was that, and McConnell had asked that nobody do it. And Tuberville, who was, of course, absolutely, not sexually, but in bed, not that I know of, with Trump, he's going to listen to Trump. I don't know. I mean, I think that's what's going to happen.
One way to look at it is that
Pence has thrown in with Trump as well, and Pence has power to control this because of his role in the ceremony. So I would predict that what will happen is that there will be a complaint, it will go into a committee, and then Pence will take some sort of action, saying, you know, we're gonna move on and get out of it, because the thing that McConnell does not want is that roll call vote where people have to reveal whether they're for or against Trump. So I think that they're going to go through with it, but pull the plug on it before it comes to full, you know, fruition.
I think you're right.
Think it'll be a quiet holiday? When were we going to know about the we were talking before about the stimulus, but when will we know for sure if our government closes down?
When the lights go off.
Yeah, no, I thought it was the end of the week. They're up against it.
So Christmas.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, well, Merry Christmas. Well, let's
look at go ahead, Alan.
I was just going to say, let's look at what has to happen here. The president has to sign the bill, right? And sooner or later, he either has to sign the bill or let the country go to hell. Now, with any other president, you know he'd sign the bill. With this president, you don't know. You just don't know.
Unemployment runs out Saturday, and the federal government shuts down Monday if there is an action.
Okay.
Right.
I just checked on that.
Yep.
So they basically have a day, 2 days of where they want to work, and then over the weekend, right?
So in the meantime,
I mean, don't they have a veto-proof majority in both houses on this?
Yeah, sure they do.
As long as you can hold it.
Sure they do, and every one of those courageous Republican senators is going to raise their hand and override the president of the United States, Rosemary. What do you think?
No.
Yeah. Me neither.
Bob?
No.
I was just laughing at I could see McConnell looking at Tuberville and you know, I think you're absolutely correct about right next to the boiler room, but just McConnell looking at him and just saying, you know, I just want to give you an office that reminded you of the heat and humidity in Alabama. I mean, the guy is so
yeah,
sweet
exactly.
When he's getting
a nice,
nice
windowless
really
closet.
Funny.
Yeah. Have a hot dog cart on K Street. Yeah,
I mean, the guy has playing his cards right. If he is castigated and punished for being loyal to Trump, how does that play at home? Pretty good. He
it
can't
does.
Lose
I
in
mean,
this.
Yeah, I said earlier that a lot of the senators have to worry about the middle. That isn't the case in Alabama. The flip side of that is that Trump is out of power in 20 days, and Mitch McConnell is there for another 6 years. So that's something that, you know, Tuberville will have to think about.
In a social media error, every slight that goes against him, he can turn into a standing up for the champion of all you 48% out there. Trump is going to change opposition politics in the next 4 years.
Yeah. Well, can I just make one comment? It may not be relevant to what you guys are thinking about, but it certainly is to me. It's Tommy Tuberville, not Tuberville.
Isn't it Tub? I think it's Tub.
No, you people are saying Tub. It's not Tub. Well, I'm looking it up right now.
I think it looks like Tup, but I think it's pronounced Tub. This is the important issue of the day.
Yeah, I thought it was Tuber, actually. Tuberville.
Yeah, yeah.
Tuber, you're right, Joe. It's Tommy Tuber, Tuberville.
Yeah, Tuberville. Okay.
And my G thing says he's a U.S. Senator elect, and then it says from the AP. Well, no, not from the AP. Maybe from Alabama, but not the AP.
All right. We settled on
call him Coach.
We'll call him Coach. That's exactly what we'll do. All right.
And for old people who remember watching Cheers, that's really funny because I think the intellectual level is
right. Yeah, just about the same. Okay, I've been trying here. We have to go, but I want to wish you all a very beautiful holiday, a beautiful
Happy
Christmas,
holiday.
And joy. We'll be back on Monday, and I thank you all for not only today, but for every day that you come in and do this. Well, you don't come in. You just pick up your phone.
Well, you come in this way.
Yeah, that's right. But still, it's a lot and a commitment, and we thank you all. Not just the panelists on today, but our whole group, our wonderful group of panelists. And, we'll be back on Monday, and God only knows what will happen between now and then. Alan, thank you very much. Have a beautiful couple days. We'll see you on Monday.
You,
Chris Churchill, Bob Griffin, and Rosemary Armeo, holiday greetings and love to you all. Thank you very much. We will, coming up next, coming up next,
yes.
An Americana Christmas. The Bearsville Theater presents an Americana Christmas. It's a really special. We're thrilled to air it, and we will do that. And then we are expecting the governor at 11:30, still TBA, but we are expecting, and we'll go to that. If not, we'll hear something else.